Hi there, this is Tina Foster, and this is the Body and Culture Conversation Series. This is a new series that I have started here in March 2021. And today I'm here with Christina Wingeier, who is an intuitive astrologer. She thinks of herself as a celestial timekeeper. And she lives on the central coast of California. She works with archetypes and mythology and the relationship and overlaps between archetype and mythology with astrology. She lives there on the central coast, right by the ocean. And so she's always looking out to the ocean and letting the experience with the ocean come in to her work. She watches the moon. She works a lot with the feminine, with women, and she works one-on-one as well as teaches classes. She has the Goddess Codes, which is the intersection of goddess archetype and astrology. So I'm really excited to have Christina here today because she's a very good friend. And I wanted her to be the first person I had a conversation with because she's such a good friend, but because her work as an individual, but also collaborative work that she has done with me in the past, lines up in a very interesting way with the notion of body and culture. And here's what I mean by that. Christina and I created a series of offerings. I believe we began in 2018 called Celestial Embodiment. And that concept and that name came from Christina. She mainly handled the celestial part of it, and I mainly handled the embodiment part of it. But of course, we were both working together in overlap. The concept of celestial embodiment lends itself to the conversation about body and culture, the personal body, the personal nervous system versus, or not versus, but alongside the cultural body and the cultural nervous system. So, Christina, I just want to bring you in now and ask you if there's anything you'd like to add to the way I introduced you, your bio. Did I get anything wrong? This is your time now to add or make it right.
Hey, Tina. Thank you so much for inviting me to have this conversation with you. I'm thrilled and honored. I loved everything you said in my bio, so thank you. It was beautiful. It's always helpful for me to hear someone else reflect on my work because sometimes I have a hard time actually understanding what I do or putting language to it. One thing I would love to add to what you were just talking about is the idea of the cosmic nervous system and the cosmic body, in addition to the cultural nervous system and the cultural body and the physical body. Yeah.
Go on, go on then.
Just thinking about this idea of celestial embodiment, and let me just come to it first from a place of letting you know that I have been historically a very disembodied individual, actually. And embodiment is a very painful and confusing experience for me. And it's much easier for me to go out into the cosmos, to be very vast, to be very above and outside of my body. And so working together with you, where I'm able to travel in those astral realms and work with the planetary influences and the cosmic body, as it were, and all of the pieces of that nervous system, planets and the moon and, the different pulsing that goes on and the communication within that planetary system, of which Earth is a part of, that body and that nervous system. We seem to forget that Earth is a part of the whole process and conversation.
Yeah, we think we're everything.
Yeah,
We think
we
it
think we're,
ends with us. We forget.
we do. I forget that, yeah, we're just this actually really tiny small planet in a solar system that's continually like expanding, and we're understanding more and more about it, and then the galaxy and beyond that. Like it's pretty wild. So yeah, this kind of cosmic nervous system, the solar, you know, and how it there's a it, it that we are a part of that, and that working with astrology and mythology, working with archetypes and the body itself helps us realize our place and recognize our place. And instead of feeling like small and tiny, I actually feel vastly connected and resourced, and I feel more embodied when I am, because I realize that I have that cosmos inside of me as well. So it's just this as above, so below, as within, so without kind of vibe that includes what I consider, I had never thought about it before until you talked about the collective nervous system. And I just thought, well, there's a cosmic nervous system as well.
Thank you for that reminder about the cosmic nervous system, because in saying the collective nervous system, I mean, you can't talk about everything at once, but I was definitely at that moment doing that thing of separating Earth out from the cosmos. I was actually even separating the collective out from Earth, because of course the Earth itself, the planet, the physical planet, has a nervous system as well. And in that, you know, our collective nervous system has done quite a number on the Earth's nervous system. And we have the cosmic nervous system that's holding the Earth and holding us. We probably, as a collective, human collective, have the cosmic nervous system to thank that we still have an Earth nervous system, because the cosmos is what has been sort of holding it all together as we, you know, as human beings, we just kind of blow everything up.
Absolutely. And even, you know, thinking about a solar system type of nervous system as well, because being on this planet, orienting around the sun in a particular way over and over again, and with the certain planets that we can see and we can feel those vibrations, like it does, it, I think our bodies are so attuned to all of that. I think we have gotten so disconnected from our own wisdom and the wisdom of that natural kind of rhythmic way of living seasonally and, you know, lunarly and, cycles of time. And astrology is mostly the study of cycles of time, you know? So.
Yeah. Okay. So before we go any further, I want to ask you questions that I, in all my love of interviewing people, I always ask everyone. And this is just gives us a little insight into who you are as a person. The first question is, what breaks your heart?
Like so many things I could say.
What's presenting itself right now?
Yeah, what's presenting itself right now is how easily we abandon our soul.
And the other question is, what never fails to make you smile?
Like the first time that I see the crescent moon in the lunar cycle.
What is it about the crescent moon?
Oh, I haven't seen the moon for a few days, first of all. Like I find great comfort in seeing stars, moon, planets. Like it just makes me happy. And so every time I see the crescent moon, it's like I've been through the dark moon phase, which is a time of sometimes difficulty, like just more emotional feelings or exhaustion. And when I see the crescent moon, I see light, I see a new beginning, I see a sparkle on the horizon, it's sunset, it's just beautiful. Makes me
Yeah,
smile.
Just for to make sure everybody understands, the dark moon cycle is what?
The dark moon would be like around
the
new
moon. We can't
see
the
time.
Moon.
Exactly. New moon time. Yeah. So it's, yeah, technically like the day before, the day of, and the day after the new moon. But, you know, the moon disappears. And whenever it's the same if I see a planet that I haven't seen for a long time. But the moon presented herself first because I see her pretty regularly.
I love your relationship to the celestial bodies. It's so, there's lots of people in the world who know astrologers and astronomers and physicists. They know a lot about the celestial realms. But what is really, really sweet, in addition to intriguing about hearing about, you know, all the cool stuff in outer space, is when somebody, that sweetness of when somebody has a heart-centered relationship with the celestial realms, and you have that in spades.
I do. It's, and you know, moving here to the Central Coast opened that up to me in such a big way. It's not that I wasn't looking at the moon or tracking the planets in the Bay Area, but there's a lot less light pollution where I live now. And being right on the ocean, it's quite dark at night. And I see so much more. And I've seen some really amazing things since I've lived here. Eclipses, meteor showers, just the comet, right? Neowise comet. I was able to see that pretty clearly. And
when was that?
That was last year, last autumn, I believe, when it was visible. It's, I mean, to me, when it's cloudy out and I can't see the sky for a few days, like, first of all, there's just that missing of the light and the sun and the warmth that can be lonely making sometimes. But there's something about the light of the stars and the familiarity of their shapes, the way the planetary light is, and understanding their rhythms, what skies they might be in, it just makes me feel so good in my system. And this, watching planets and watching these lights, and understanding our place and all that, it's a very ancient thing. I mean, humans have been doing this for thousands and thousands of years, right? Like, that was our first entertainment center, was the night sky and the stories that were told on the star patterns.
The original TV
in the dark, right? Gather around a fire. Before there was a fire, there was still that story that was waiting for us to tell it, right? Put our cultural stories and myths and understandings on that template, right?
That turning of the stars is the same thing as the turning of a narrative, with the plots and the characters coming and going and their interactions with one another. Mm-hmm. That's so compelling. I love it. Mm-hmm. So that takes me right to the whole notion of celestial embodiment. I said that we did a series of offerings together. You did the celestial part, I did the embodiment part, but of course we were both working with both. I'm interested in hearing, like, a kind of granular, maybe in a nutshell, definition from your definition, your take on what celestial is. What is celestial?
It's of star. It's star stuff. It is a vast network of light and movement and gases, right? It's, I guess maybe it's like a sparkly original chemistry lab, you know?
A sparkly original chemistry lab. Yeah. So we're like looking into the microscope of the sky.
Yeah, the telescope, the microscope. And it's also like,
I like the idea of this whole sky as a microscope, because, you know, we tend to think of a microscope as being something tiny, but it brings to mind the parallel between, like, the splitting of a cell and the splitting of a planet, you know, all those, like,
Well, you know, I was a midwife, so let's not get started on embryology. Okay. Cause I'm thinking of cell splitting. Yeah. I think I just lost my train of thought. Oh, no, I know. I also, for celestial, and I guess I'm going to talk about celestial embodiment, is that cosmos and that cosmic nervous system and all of that light and those patterns, Like I contain that in my own body. So I'm like the microscope of the cosmos, and the cosmos is the microscope of me, and also everybody else. So like we're all the cosmos, but I do think that we contain these vast spaces. I consider myself a cosmonaut, but it's the more I seek outside, the more I go inside as well. And there's a parallel there for me. There's so much space.
Discovering something outside yourself, you immediately start looking. It's not even a choice. It's something that innately happens where there's the reflection for the internal reflection of what I just discovered out there. Now, how does that work inside me?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I love the interconnection of that. I'm threaded into everything, as opposed to this lonely, separate thing. So you use the word cosmonaut. You said, I'm definitely a cosmonaut. Can you define cosmonaut?
Well, as I define it, it's an exploration in space. Space, time, place, right? Again, I have historically had a very difficult time being in my body, and it is a process that I've been really engaging in trying to understand how to be embodied, like for a long time. And it's really much easier for me to travel very fast, to go into big realms, big ideas, make a lot of connections, seek a lot of insight, information, like, and so there's something about this like exploring of these realms, whether they're understanding a planetary cycle or just, you know, listening to the sound of the waves, closing my eyes and traveling, right? That is this kind of exploration of a cosmonaut to me. It's also where I go into my psyche and to my archetypal experience and to understand, you know, my own spirituality, or, you know, all the big questions, right? Like I think that's what I mean by that.
Yeah.
So this today.
Okay. Yeah. So you're a cosmonaut and you have the tools of the cosmonaut, which in your case would be astrology and also archetypes. Can you talk a little bit about the relationship between astrology and archetypes?
Sure. So, you know, astrology, again, humans have been watching planets for a really long time, and tracing their movement around and within the stars. And certain planets, before we had telescopes, right, before we could head out the Hubble, we had only our eyes, and we could only see so far into the solar system. We could only see to Saturn. So these seven visible planets, and they would include the sun and moon in that planetary category, were these, they were thought of as emanations of the divine, right? They were thought of as gods and goddesses or divine will. And so different cultures express their own divinity, their understanding of divinity, their own, you know, personalities and archetypes of gods and goddesses onto different planets. So for example, Venus, right? Venus is an archetype of a goddess, but there's a lot of different cultural archetypes that have been projected onto Venus over time. So there's these archetypes woven into the planets through the cultural story making with them and conceptualizing.
So the planets are like the characters within the cultural story making. Would that
they
be?
Are they're the gods. They're
gods. The
gods
are the characters.
Yeah.
And the gods and the characters and the planets they represent are a part of the whole human psyche, the over psyche, the universal psyche, the collective unconscious that we share. Could we say that all of us have a little bit of all of them in us, and some of us have more of certain ones than others?
Yes, this is the thing. You have all of the astrology in you. Your chart is complete. Whether you have an empty house or not. That's what people are always fascinated by when you look at, oh, look at all those empty houses. It's like, yeah, you, it's still there's energy there, okay? Emptiness doesn't mean there's nothing there. It means there's space. In any event, every planetary archetype is within you. Every sign, which is a costume, is within you. Certain costumes are more comfortable to you. It's an elemental thing, right? Fire,
signs,
water,
by
earth,
signs,
air.
You mean astrological signs.
Yeah, we're talking
we all have all the astrological signs, and we all have these costumes.
And we have all of them, but we may not wear them all. Mm-hmm. But they're accessible. You could always try one on, right? But you have
so we're not
that you're
locked
comfortable
into.
In.
Yeah. So a lot of times in popular culture, I think we sort of get taught, or, you know, astrology represents sort of like a forecast and a predictions. And it sort of makes the world and, you know, our embodiment sound like, you know, we're just puppets locked into a system and everything is predestined and there's no free will. There's no choice. There's no cause and effect. There's nothing really subjective going on. It's like, what's going to happen? And that's astrologers, you know, are predicting. And what you're saying is a little bit deeper than that. Yeah.
I am. And I will say that everybody has particular energetic patterns, right? Like, you have particular ways of which costumes that you, your planets and archetypes like to wear, what you're most comfortable in, right? Which planets are more active in a chart, or, you know, not, there's a lot of ways to look at that, right? And free will is absolutely important to understand, but like, astrology will teach you about your patterning. And then you have the free will to shift your relationship to your patterns, right?
So
to
astrology
evolve.
Is yet another psychological tool that we have to understand ourselves and make sense of our life and how we relate to the world.
Yes, and the thing about astrology as well is that it's actually very useful in timing technique predictions, but not in a psychic kind of, you're going to walk into a restaurant and you're going to meet the man. You know, it's not this like faded thing. It's like, there's a time period that's coming up that this life area may be activated in this kind of way. It's a preparation for you to kind of work with more awareness rather than feeling blindsided by that. You can see a lot with this. It's kind of creepy, like eerie, you know what I mean?
So as a psychological tool, we're using the stories in the sky. We're using the cosmic nervous system to help us understand our own nervous system. How is that different than other psychological tools that we might use?
It's just a different type of tool. I mean, it's a certain pattern, right? The chart is a pattern. It's a wheel. It's broken into 12 compartments, different life areas. It's circular because it's a circular cosmos. Like, we don't live in a linear, the world, you know, contrary to, I believe, some flat earthers. I think it's a sphere. I think that there's a lot of spheres and circles and not a lot of flatness, really. And so, yeah, the chart itself is a circle, and it's a snapshot from Earth of the sky, right? When you're born, of what all the planets were doing and where they were related to these areas that are called signs. Right, these compartments we've dissected and drawn these imaginary lines in the sky. Oh, that's, you know, that's Aries. Aries is rising. Aries is on the horizon. But we understand it to be so. We put it there.
So you mentioned that you mentioned our astrological birth chart as a snapshot of the sky when we're born. There's also the snapshots of moments in time. And so for the final part of this interview, I want to talk to you about the pandemic and your relationship to it as an astrologer, You and I have had a lot of amazing conversations since before the pandemic. I should probably add right here for listeners a little bit of history about myself and Christina. Christina and I had been friends online and had struck up a relationship, and we decided to meet and we chose in person, and we chose a day that worked for both of us. It was a month or two out ahead in time that worked for our schedules. And it just so happened, neither of us knew this at the time that we set the date months ahead, that it was the day after the 2016 election. So Christina and I woke up that morning, and I remember getting a text from Christina like, wow, what a shock. Are you okay? Are you still up for meeting today? Like, are you ready for an in-person meeting? And, you know, I was definitely not in a place where I would normally want to meet a person for the first time. I was hardly my best. I was feeling really broken. I was feeling really fuzzy and, you know, like almost like I had been knocked out. I was terrified, you know, my confidence was shaken, all of that. But my answer on a deeper level was, I absolutely do want that because it'll get me out of my head. It will, relating to a kind person who I know to be like-minded is exactly what I need right now. So we went ahead and met, and we had a beautiful day. And then from that day, our whole relationship began to unfold. We started having regular Zoom meetings where we would just meet and talk. And this was pre-pandemic. And out of those meetings, Celestial Embodiment was born. And one of the things we did in Celestial Embodiment was Christina would look at the astrology for a particular time that was upcoming and sort of, you know, share with me her interpretation of that period of time. And then I would devise embodiment practices to help us meet and digest and work with the astrology for that particular time. And we would just share all of that with a group of women that we would meet with for that particular time. So, Christina, do you have anything to add to that?
Just that I'm so glad we said yes to meeting, because I do think that it was part of actually that shock, almost like, you know, how the pandemic is a shock that we've been talking about, that it was actually through that shock that we were able to, I think, access something very deep, very quickly. But I do think there was something about being open to something new, even in a time of shock and confusion and grief, that was actually very rich and important, even as we think about the pandemic, right?
Yeah, you're touching on something about body and culture that really made me want to have these conversations. How did we go from like individual bodies to cultural bodies? I think the pandemic really, and all the shocks from the 2016 election on, you know, pre-2016 election, we still had a lot of problems, but the 2016 election made all those problems more apparent. For example, the United States was never a true democracy. It was never a place where everybody was equal. And it became really grossly apparent after the 2016 election. So what I'd like to do now, Christina, if you're willing, is just, can you give us a snapshot of the time we're in now? And you can back up to however far back you want to go. You can, you know, go back to the 2016 election and reflect it to now, or you can start at the pandemic, or, you know, however you want to do it. But just give us an idea right now in March of 2021, where we are, where, what might lie ahead, and of course, where we've come from.
Woo!
And I know that's a lot. That's a big question. But you're an astrologer. This is
I know we work in big questions. Okay. I want to start with Saturday, the 13th of March, 2021. So I'm going into the future because today is the 11th as we're recording this. So Saturday, the 13th of March is a new moon in Pisces, which means that the sun and the moon are in the sign of Pisces and we are in Pisces season, and seasons are identified by where the sun is, okay? And I was looking at this chart and thinking about this new moon for the online community that I guide around astrology stuff. And I realized, looking at the date, I'm like, it is a 1 year anniversary of when my state went into quarantine. And I was reflecting on that. I mean, I know we're talking a lot about the year. There's different markers that people are marking in time, but there's something about that Friday the 13th, 2020, and the year until now, Saturday the 13th, 2021, that feels like an important marker to me, because it's a new moon, first of all. So there's a lot of hope and possibility and healing and clarity.
New moons are always about hope, you're saying?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying this particular new moon, the way that the celestials are configured within the chart,
okay,
speaks a lot about softening, dreaming, healing, clearing, right? Acknowledging all of the feelings without being pulled into a whirlpool with them. It's a Pisces thing, right? We feel it. We just experience it all. It's very vast, right? But the healing and the hope and the beauty that's woven into this new moon on the anniversary of when we were going into what felt like a very sticky, toxic, confusing time.
You mean the beginning of the pandemic and lockdown?
For me, Friday the 13th, 2020, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in that interim of that year, we, astrologically speaking, we changed course with our nodes. Our nodes moved. The nodes are the places, the north node, the south node, where we have eclipses. And prior to the pandemic into 2020, for the last few years, we were working in all this Capricorn, Cancer. You were hearing everybody talk about Capricorn and Cancer, and the institutions were crumbling and we needed to change and the old paradigms aren't working. But then it like really collapsed, right? And we pandemic'd. And that nodal change brought us into a place of mutability and shedding and shifting. And so it feels to me like where we are now is in a place that's so very in between everything. Like you can look back and you can see what is no longer and what we're letting go of and what we've lost. You can be here and be present with all of your feelings. You can choose to dwell in them. You can choose to work with healing, right? Through creative expression, embodiment. And we look to the future and it's completely like swirling, but there's so much potential and possibility if we can get curious about the swirl rather than trying to like nail it down. Even though, do you know what I mean when I say that? Like how we want to like nail, like get so like, okay, this is what's going to happen.
Yeah, we want, you mean like we get super control freaky and we get kind of up in our head and just like, I want to do this. We become strategic. We want to create a strategy, you know, of bullet points, A, B, C, D. Here's how you make a better world. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, rather than just building culture, which means getting together, rubbing up against one another, having discussions, arguing, examining the broken pieces, making sense of them, finding new ways, you know, and
flipping things.
Yes.
flipping things upside down, looking at it upside down, like seriously, both and getting really curious, getting really playful, getting really light. This is the North Node in Gemini. This is also like distraction. This is also like too many questions that just keep you spinning, right? Like it's tricky territory.
I think we all have a lot of that right now.
Yeah.
Every client that I work with, and actually even just conversations with friends, it's really hard to make plans. Or actually, it's easy to make plans. It's just sticking with the plan is kind of complicated. Right? Because we've really dealt with a lot of disruption. We've dealt with a lot of rupture. We've had the rug pulled out from under us multiple times. We've been traumatized. We've been broken. Yeah.
But that's the skill of mutable energy is adaptation.
Okay. Can you define mutable for everyone?
Yeah. So there are three modalities in astrology that along with elements are what create the 12 signs that everybody talks about. Okay. So the three modalities are ways that energy moves or is experienced. So there's cardinal energy, which is initiatory and action oriented. It is what brings the season. All of the seasonal signs are cardinal signs. So Aries, right? Cancer, Libra, and Capricorn. There's fixed energy, which is in holding the energy of the season, right? That's really steady. It's really stable, but it can get stuck and stagnant. Mutable energy is the energy that transforms the stuck thing into the new thing. So it's adaptable, it's flexible, and it can work with, okay, now we're here. Okay, plans have changed. Okay, what now? What do we have available to us? And so there's a lot of unpredictability and there can be a lot of flakiness. Listen, I'm a mutable sign. People have been so frustrated with me my whole life, how I will change my mind about things. But to me, it feels like I'm listening to my system and my system can't do that anymore and I have to align with it. So if we can be more flexible, more mutable, more curious, less holding on to what we think we know as truth, and being open to new discovery and new co-creation, right? It's the twins. Gemini wants a playmate. You know, we don't want to be alone. We don't want to play by ourselves.
Yeah, you know? I love it. So Gemini is a mutable sign. It is looking for a playmate. So it's about togetherness. It's not just the single body. It's the culture. It's unifying
it's
with
both
other
and.
Things, right? Yeah.
Both and, not either
both
or.
And, both and. And so my final question then, and I feel like everything that we've been saying is just like led to this question. How has this last year, since March 13th, 2020, as you said, Friday the 13th, when you went into lockdown, what have you noticed in your body, in your personal body, and in the cultural body during this time of the pandemic? What has it shown you in terms of body and culture?
My personal body, I've been having a lot of trouble in my personal body. Discomforts, health stuff come up. At the same time, I feel more embodied than ever before. And it's by choice, because what I notice is that things that were already happening before the pandemic, technology, social media, being on screens a lot, is on overdrive right now. And I mean, it's a blessing that we can work virtually, and I'm not arguing about that. What I'm saying is, in my lived experience, I feel like the pandemic is trying to cut my head off of my body. Like it tried to, like the way that we're like going online for everything. We're thinking and we're zooming. It's like it's trying to
separate
me.
We're all a bunch of talking heads.
Yeah, we're all a bunch of talking heads. And I'm like, okay, if I don't watch out, like I'm going to lose track of my body completely. And that means I'm going to somehow lose track of the earth. And I can't abandon her, my body, and I can't abandon the earth. And in fact, it's more important than ever that I get in here and get out there and stay connected.
Get in here, you mean get in your body.
Yeah, get in my body. Don't abandon my body, right? And really, like...
And then stay in your body when you go out there to the earth.
Just be in the earth's body. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I just feel like we're at a dangerous place. It feels to me dangerous how disconnected whole groups of people are becoming from their bodies and their environments and the world. You know, it's just because of so much screen, and I think it's not good for me, and I don't think it's good for the culture overall. I think there needs to be some kind of recalibration with it all, but that, you know, I understand we're in the Aquarian age. I mean, I do understand the planetary cycle of Jupiter and Saturn in Aquarius that was initiated around solstice of 2020 is putting us into a very accelerated technological paradigm. And I accept that. I know that technology is only going to increase in many different ways, shapes, and forms as we live in the next 20 years and the next 200 years. Like, I get that. But I also, like, I cannot abandon my body or the earth as that technology advances. It is a reminder for me to stay here.
Yeah. Well, when you were talking before about our culture and that we're all the talking heads on the screens, and you were talking about certain groups of people becoming more disconnected from their bodies. You know, it reminded me of something I've wondered about a lot with the rise of groups like QAnon, which were born of the internet. It was a digital online community before it started to become, you know, out in the real world as well. So when the pandemic happened, that put everybody behind the screens. So it sort of doubled down on that. You know, the people that were already kind of primed for QAnon, now they had to stay behind the screen. And so anyone who might have just dabbled in it and then gotten away from it and, you know, gone on to something else, some of those people might have actually been, you know, trapped into it, taken deeper just because of not being able to go out into the world and get into the earth's body. They had to stay behind the screens. What do you think of that?
Oh, I agree with you. And then there's the algorithm that will pull you deeper and deeper into the screen. I mean,
you're talking about the algorithms like on social media.
Anything. It just is like, I'm not that paranoid about all this stuff. I try to keep my cybersecurity up to date and whatnot. But I honestly am like, if I'm online, obviously my moves and my actions are creating some kind of imprint and profile that is then trying to show me more of what I want. Right. And that's a lot of homogenization that's going on. Oh, you want more of this? We'll give you more of this. And that's how that rabbit hole goes deeper and deeper. For your example, you were talking about QAnon. Well, I'm curious what's happening. Oh, let me look at this video. Let me look at this. It keeps leading you in this circle down into a rabbit hole. And that is actually a very homogenized experience. Like, you're missing out on a lot of other things mm-hmm. when you're being pulled into a vortex by an algorithm. And that's mm-hmm. really dangerous for culture, I think.
Wow. Yes. Maybe these people, I was actually reading an amazing article this morning about a person who created the primary algorithms for Facebook. And this person was talking about how they regret all of it and that they never dreamed that it would create the situation that it did, and how a few days after the 2016 election, this person stood up and apologized to a very large group of people because things had happened with the algorithm that they never imagined would, and also had to admit they had no idea how to undo it. And I was just thinking, wow, what if these algorithm people started looking at astrology? The astrology would still give them patterns to work with, and they would probably find all kinds of parallels and might even find it really interesting, but maybe it would kind of take them out of, it would probably unravel the algorithms.
It might.
What do you think of that? Is that too kooky?
No, I think that's a fascinating idea. But when you were talking about this person and their apology around the algorithm, honestly, what I thought about was nuclear reactivity and the scientists that understood nuclear and, you know, were working on all of that, and then how the nuclear bombs and then the bombs being dropped. And I believe there were some science, I don't know this for like a truth fact, but I feel like that's a story that sounds like there, I can imagine like it's your brainchild. It's your understanding of the way the pieces move together, and then to watch it turn into a type of weapon, right? Where the algorithm, I think, could be considered to be a weapon, you know?
Absolutely.
I mean, it's definitely anti-choice. It's anti-variety, right? It's
anti-wholeness.
It's anti-wholeness, right? It's very compartmentalized. And it also like connects you to a nervous system of a culture, right? The QAnon mm-hmm. nervous system culture. So then you feel like you're part of a network and you're not alone, even though you're sitting behind your computer by yourself.
Oh my God, thank you. We came full circle. We went around the wheel. I could talk to you all day about
it. I know.
I mean, we both know that. For anyone listening, Christina and I have literally had like 4 and 5 hour Zoom calls.
Epic.
It is epic. So Christina, I want to thank you so much for this conversation.
Oh, thank you, Tina. I'm really
thank you for being the first.
Oh, my pleasure. I'm honored, truly. Thank you.
So can you tell us where we can find you on the webs?
It's my name. So my name is Christina, K-R-I-S-T-I-N-A, Wingeier, Wingeier.com.
Thank you again. And for everyone listening, I hope you enjoyed this. And there's going to be more of these conversations around body and culture. And we'll be having all different kinds of people. And we'll be looking at this topic from all different angles. Today, it was astrology, archetypes, mythology, the cosmic nervous system, as well as the nervous system of the earth and the nervous system of the individual and the nervous system of the culture. As for you and your body and your culture, I hope you are safe and well, all things considered. Thanks for listening.